psaume. Title: Fighting Fear with Faith. Fighting Fear with Faith. I hope you have a Bible handy. Turning to Psalm 27, as I mentioned earlier, this is a psalm I read every time I stand officiating a funeral. Psalm 23, Psalm 24, Psalm 27. Because they speak to hope. They speak to light. Come, help us overcome our fears, our hurts. I'm going to ask you to stand with me, if you would, as I read Psalm 27, verses 1 to 14. And we think together today how the Scripture would teach us to fight fear with faith. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war rise against me, yet I will be confident. One thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. And I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. You have said, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek. Hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger. O you who have been my help, cast me not off. Forsake me not, O God of my salvation. For my father and mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Give me not up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have arisen against me, and they breathe out violence. I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong. Let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. What have we just read together? The inerrant, infallible, all-sufficient Word of God. My prayer today is that this passage, as we think through it together, will drive out fear, that faith will rise, that you'll be strengthened by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, and believe that God is who he says he is in a passage like this. Thank you. Please be seated. Now, someone has said that fear is false evidence appearing real. That's what fear is. False evidence appearing real. There are reactions to fear. A typical reaction to fear, another acrostic, is to forget everything and run. Forget everything and run. Just turn tail and go. And I can't stand it. I can't face it. It's going to overtake me. But I'm going to suggest to you this morning that a faith response to fear is another acrostic. Face everything and rise. Not forget everything and run. Face everything and rise. And my intention is to unfold Psalm 27 along this word rise. Rise. Remember past mercies. Invoke present promises. Submit to divine providences. Expect future grace. I want you to see that as we look at this passage, it unfolds in my mind under these headings. First of all, I will not fear as I remember past mercies, verses 1 to 3. Secondly, I will not fear as I invoke present promises, verses 4 to 6. Third, I will not fear as I submit to divine providences, verses 7 to 9. And then I will not fear as I expect future grace, verses 10 to 14. Let's look at this first heading. I will not fear as I remember past mercies. Look at what the psalmist says in verses 1 to 3. When you read it, it sounds in the Hebrew like present tense, but he's reflecting upon what he's faced. This is a psalm of David. He's faced every one of the things he describes. Listen to these verses. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? So he asserts who God is. He is light. The psalmist, Psalm 23 says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we looked at that a couple of weeks ago. But God is my light. He brings light into my darkness. He brings light into troubled times. His light, Jesus described himself, he said, I am the light of the world. The psalmist understood God, cast light over him and upon him and before him, so that no matter how dark the way may be, he had the confidence of the light of God attending his way. And my salvation, here, he's the one who rescues me. David knew this. God had rescued him. So in the light of that, he asks this rhetorical question. It's very much like what Paul asks in Romans 8. If God is for us, who can be against us? He asks it in such a way that he expects the answer, no one, nothing. Whom shall I fear? The answer is no one, nothing. He goes on and says, the Lord is the stronghold of my life. He rescues me. He shines light upon my path. He enlightens my way. He comes over my darkness. He's my stronghold. I can hide in him. Would remind you, we looked recently at Jesus speaking as the shepherd to his sheep, saying, you're in my hands. And my hands are in the Father's hands. And no one can pluck you out of the Father's hands. And so we have this stronghold image. And in the face of that, of whom shall I be afraid? The answer, no one. Nothing. And then he speaks about his experience. When evildoers assail me, David had faced that. People who wanted to do him in. To eat up my flesh. That is, to destroy me. Well, evildoers usually take on personality. But you know something? Disease can eat up your flesh as well. My adversaries and my foes, it is they who stumble and fall. They were not successful. They tried many times with David. Never successful. It appeared a couple of times they had come close. Never successful. Though an army encamp against me, though my foes be many, David's not even concerned for a fair fight here. Though my foes be many, an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. I will not succumb to forgetting everything and running. I will not yield to false evidence appearing a certain way, appearing real. No, I won't do that. I'll rise. Though war rise against me, yet I will be confident. And that's what we need, the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ needs in a time like this, as you get all kinds of messages, experts weighing in at every turn. And then, as one thing I read the other day says, and all of a sudden, everyone with a Facebook account becomes an expert in epidemiology on pandemics. You're reading all kinds of things. Well, filter it through who God is. Filter it through what God has promised. David had seen some things. He'd seen serious threats against his person, against his position. And yet, he says, I will not fear. I will be confident because of who the Lord is. And so, I'll remember past mercies. Think back to a time in your life. Perhaps you thought it was over. Perhaps it was a physical affliction, a relational tragedy, a financial hardship. And you thought, I won't make it through this. This will do me in. And yet, here you are today, whole. The Lord was your light, your salvation. The Lord allayed your fears. The Lord strengthened you and gave you confidence. So I will remember past mercies. I think that's important. Sometimes when we're in the thick of difficulties, all we can see, all we can feel is what we're going through right now. And it's important to stop and remember. A big portion of the book of Psalms is a recitation of the past mercies of God for His people. So, if you're having difficulty remembering past mercies, I would encourage you just to go to the book of Psalms and start reading through it. You won't get very far before you're reading of the great work of God in the past on behalf of His people, and I would suspect that will trigger in you the memories of God's great mercies shown to you. Secondly, I will not fear as I invoke present promises. David says in verses 4 to 6, one thing have I asked of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in His temple. For He will hide me in His shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of His tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. And I will offer in His tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Look at what David says here. He is invoking present promises. Charles Spurgeon wrote about the promises of God. And there's a little book. In fact, I think it's even available online, free, called A Checkbook on the Bank. You see it variously styled. Checkbook on the Bank of Heaven, Checkbook on the Bank of Faith. What it is, it's 365 promises of God drawn from the Scripture, a devotional for every day. If you haven't accessed that, I encourage you to do so. You'll be strengthened every day, remembering God's mercy, remembering God's promises. Look what David says. One thing have I asked of the Lord, and that will I seek after. And see, his seeking after this one thing, think about this. What's the one thing you need? The one thing you want? The one thing that fills your focus, your desire? God, give me my heart's desire. Here it was for David. It should be the same for us. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Psalm 23, David says that's what he was aiming for. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, or for length of days, as the Hebrew renders it. This one thing. Brothers and sisters, friends, if you're seeking this one thing, it's amazing how many other things take their place. If I'm seeking to glorify God by loving Him now and longing to enjoy Him now and forever, if I'm longing, as Paul said, to depart and be with Christ, then there is no enemy that can undo me. The last enemy we looked at last week is death. And in the Lord, when you know Jesus Christ, even death has been neutralized. Jesus conquered death. David says, my heart is set upon one thing. I'm seeking that, to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Now he's talking about to be in the heavenly places, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, to inquire in his temple, to be with God, to be with God, to know God and be known by him, to glory in God, to be in that place where we're told the angels cry out constantly, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts, the whole earth full of his glory. And when the 24 elders begin to take up the name, and the multitudes, the myriads cry out, worthy are you, O God, because you are the creator. Everything exists by you. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. David says, that's my one thing. Let me ask you this morning, what's your one thing? What have you said to yourself? Well, if this one thing was true, then. Because I can assure you, while there may be a measure of truth, it's not ultimate truth. And I can assure you, if this is the one thing, then the other things take their place. Now, how can you say that, preacher? Well, because I didn't come up with it. Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. That's the promise of the scripture. I'm seeking after that. Why? Because he tells us. Here he's claiming promises. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. The Lord had promised that. We read the promises to Joshua. Be strong and courageous. I will give you victory. Do not fear. I'm with you. David knew that. This covenantal promise given to Adam and Eve, given to Noah, given to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, Joshua, David, all in preparation of the unfolding of the new covenant promise, the I wills given to us, to all who will repent of sin and come to faith in Christ. I will. I will. The new covenant believer says in the spirit of the book of Hebrews, I know him who has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Why should I fear in the face of that? You see, he's claiming promises here. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high on a rock. Look at this. He hides in a shelter. He conceals in a tent. He lifts me up on a rock. He places me on a firm foundation. And what's the result of that? When you're convinced of this, no matter what's going on around you, no matter how the waves may be crashing upon you, no matter how the fear-mongering might be in the culture, this is going to kill us all if you step outside your home. Whatever you're facing, do you believe? Have you trusted in Jesus Christ? Do you know him as your Lord and Savior so that you can say with a biblically grounded confidence by the power and witness of the Holy Spirit, you are sheltered by God in your day of trouble. You're concealed under the cover of his dwelling. And he is able to lift you high above whatever is troubling you, whatever wants to harm you, whoever. He sets you upon a rock. And so he says, and now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. No need to be downcast. No need to be downtrodden. No need to have your head hung down. No. He's the lifter of our heads. David says, I will look up. I can face my enemies, knowing from Psalm 2 that the same ones who have made themselves my enemies, because I'm a child of God, they're the same ones who would cast off God's rule and reign. In Psalm 2, we're told that the one who sits in the heavens, the one who is my shelter, the one who is my covering, the one who stands me up, the one who sits in the heavens laughs and mocks with sore derision those who would come against his name, his character, his person, his work, his people. David is claiming promises here. He's invoking present promises. And as he does so, he does not fear. My head is lifted up above my enemies all around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. He's talking about worshiping God. I will worship the Lord. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. I hope and pray that somehow you have found a way to sing at home as we're in the wilderness, as we're in exile. And I would remind you, if you need help with that, if you need provocation for that, you can find Mary Askell's Facebook page on Tuesday evenings as the Askell family just sings praise unto God. And many people have told me what a blessing that has been to them. If you can't work it up on your own, let me direct you somewhere on Tuesday. Let me tell you, on Wednesday, you can join us in a Zoom prayer meeting. We're not singing then, but I tell you what, we're crying out to God. Yes. Invoke the promises of God, because if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, his promises are for you. They are yes and amen for you in Christ. Well, we need to look at this third thing before I get carried away. I will not fear as I submit to divine providences. I know there are people out there well-intended, I'm not going to question their motives, trying to get God off the hook in this COVID-19 coronavirus. Let me tell you something, folks. If God's not behind this, my knees will buckle, I'll fall to the ground. But my God is able. He rules, he overrules. The scripture teaches. He sends pestilence. He knows how to get attention, the attention of creatures made in his image. We would like to think that he does that uniquely, exclusively through pouring out bountiful blessings. But you know as well as I do. Maybe you've experienced it yourself, but you've certainly seen people greatly blessed of God who forget the blessor and get wrapped up in the blessings. Yes, yes, God ministers to us through blessings, but he also ministers to us through difficulties. You submit to divine providences. One of the hardest things I've ever had to do as a pastor over more than 4 decades preaching and pastoring was to say, well, we won't gather in our worship center for corporate worship. I have never missed that, with the exception of difficult weather days, snow days, and things like that, but even then, very rarely. But to be healthy, for weather not to be inclement, to say we won't gather. But you know what? I had to be brought by God to submit to this difficult divine providence and believe that even in this, he's ruling, reigning, overruling, and working this for his glory and for our good. And I will tell you one thing. When the green light is given for us to return, people who love the Lord, people who love the Church of Jesus Christ, will file back in. There'll be some exceptions. There'll be people who are ill. There'll be people whose immune system is compromised and not having a level of safety to gather back around people. But I'm going to tell you something. Able-bodied people, followers of Jesus Christ, who hunger and thirst after Him, who love Him and love what He loves, which means you love the body of Christ, will come running back together with the people of God. Moving from that season where we had to gather, though apart, to gathering while together. That's what the heart beats for when you invoke the promises of God, when you remember His past mercies. You yield to His promises. Look at verse 7 and 9. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer to me. He's in difficulty. You've said, seek my face. Let me ask you this. Is that what you've been doing? You've been seeking the face of God? You've been crying out to God for you and yours? I've been more focused in praying for our church family through these times. Praying for families by name, members by name. Asking the Lord to strengthen me, to teach me, to help me be a better pastor of these people. To grow in grace while we're apart. You've said, seek my face. Let me ask you, are you seeking the face of God? Because see, has this driven you, this pandemic, this new normal driven you to seek the face of God? Because if it has not, this is one of my concerns. If it has not, what will God have to do to get the church of the Lord Jesus Christ on its face before Him seeking His face? What will He have to do if this does not do it? And the response of the heart to God's command, seek my face, seek after me, return to me as your first love, cry out for communion with me. My response must be, your face, Lord, do I seek. See how this dovetails with the one thing that the psalmist is seeking after? To dwell in the presence of the Lord, to behold the beauty of the Lord, to inquire of the Lord. Your face, Lord, I seek. And then here's the difficulties. Hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger, O Lord. You see, when I look at this culture, several things I see. Just the wickedness and perversion that is wholesale in this culture. Just the pandemic of the slaughter of the unborn in the womb, which goes on unabated. Some governors have said, no, abortion is a non-essential service. And some liberal judge, some messenger of Satan, has risen up to strike down that order and say, oh no, abortion is essential. One governor was so perverse as to say this week, we must keep abortion clinics open because it is a life-saving function. That's how twisted a mind can become when it is demonically inhabited. The perversion of gender confusion. The perversion of that Samaritan's purse. Franklin Graham's ministry set up in Central Park in New York City, free of charge, a huge hospital set up there to treat people, railed against because they're bigots. And just how is Samaritan's Purse a bunch of bigots when they set up in Central Park to treat whoever comes to them? Because they have not signed on to the LGBTQXYZ agenda. They have the audacity to believe that marriage is between one man and one woman in a one flesh relationship. You see, I look at the culture. Now I look at the church asleep in the light, as Keith Green sang about. And God has every reason and every right to bring utter judgment and destruction upon, to hide his face in anger. The psalmist knows something of this. Turn not your servant away in anger, O you who have been my help. In other words, if I don't get help from you, God, there is no help available. Cast me not off. Forsake me not, O God of my salvation. We ought to be crying that out, people. We ought to be praying that. Oh God, don't turn away from us. Don't give us up. Oh church, rise. Seek the face of God. Cry out to God. And so we have this reason not to fear. We submit to divine providences. Finally, I will not fear as I expect future grace. Look at verses 10 to 14. For my father and my mother have forsaken me. There may not be a greater relational tragedy that can take place in relationships. Perhaps divorce rivals that and comes to it. My father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in. Notice the confidence here. He's just cried out, God, in these difficult providences, please don't turn away. Look at his confidence here. He's expecting God to show grace. This is how you should be as we're walking through this valley of the shadow, expecting God to show up, expecting God to show grace, expecting God to bring us back stronger than we were before. The Lord will take me in. Teach me your way. Perhaps we were not teachable before. Perhaps we had settled into ruts before, going through the motions before. No, Lord, forgive me for taking for granted the gathering together of your people. Teach me your way, O Lord. Lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Lord, I want to walk right behind you. Leading me, as the psalmist said in Psalm 23, in the wagon tracks of your righteousness. Give me not up to the will of my adversaries. Lord, don't let me succumb either in their power to overpower and take me, or in my sad willingness to yield. Do not give me up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me. They breathe out violence. I think of that for my pastor friend, Daniel Neveas. And I do pray. I'm praying daily. I want you to pray with me that the gallows that these people are building, that they imagine they will hang Daniel Neveas on, that they themselves will hang from their own gallows. They breathe out violence. Here it is. Here's the crowning statement of the whole psalm. I believe. See, earlier it was I long for. This is my desire. I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. You see, we are right now, every one of us, we're in the land of the dying. Every day the numbers come out. X number of people dying of COVID-19. People still dying of cancer, dying of heart disease, dying. Children slaughtered, dying in abortion. Just death, 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 car wrecks, death, wars. We're in the land of the dying. But when we cross over through that river that has no bridge to heaven, we enter the land of the living. We need to think that like that. When a believer dies, he or she has left the land of the dying and gone into the land of the living. He says, I believe I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. So no matter what comes to him, no matter what the providences unfold, living, dying, he belongs to the Lord. And so here's his final exhortation to himself and to us. Wait for the Lord. My brothers and sisters, waiting is not sitting back passively twiddling your thumbs. Paul teaches us that we wait by watching for his return. We wait by serving as his return approaches. We wait by living intensely for him. We live so intentionally and intensely for him while we live that when we come to die, those who gather around us have a certain assurity that we lived for Christ and died in Christ. We lived by faith. We died in faith. We fought the fight. We ran the race. We finished the course. Wait for the Lord. Be strong. Sounds very much like David was aware of God's admonition to Joshua, doesn't it? Be strong. This is not the time to be weak. This is not the time for knees to buckle. This is the time to speak to a culture that is reeling out of control because everything it loved, everything it adored, everything it hoped in, counted on, looks forward to, has been shelved. And yet here we are, rejoicing. Here we are, full of hope. Here we are, looking to a bright future. Be strong. Let your heart take courage. And the final word, wait for the Lord. Wait for the Lord. We began this service singing, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." Bless the Lord, because He's given us 10,000 reasons to praise His name. And we've just seen some of those in this study of Psalm 27. And what I want to do as we close out our service, I want to exhort those of you who are listening. If you belong to Christ, live for Christ. If you've not yet committed your life to Christ, I challenge you to repent of your sin right where you are. Confess faith in Christ and join the family of God.